The Old Testament reading is found in Joshua, the third chapter, verses 1 and following. Early in the morning, Joshua rose and set out from Shittim with all the Israelites, and they came to the Jordan. They camped there before crossing over. At the end of 3 days, the officers went through the camp and commanded the people, "When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God being carried by the Levitical priest, you shall set out from your place. Follow it so that you may know the way you should go, for you have not passed this way before. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, a distance of about 2,000 cubits. Do not come any nearer to it." Then Joshua said to the people, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." To the priest, Joshua said, "Take the Ark of the Covenant and pass out in front of the people." So he took the Ark of the Covenant and went in front of the people. And the Lord said to Joshua, "This day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, so that they may know that I will be with you as I was with Moses. You are the one who shall command the priest to bear the Ark of the Covenant. When you come to the edge of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan." Joshua said to the Israelites, "Draw near and hear the words of the Lord your God." And Joshua said, "By this you shall know the Lord is among you as the living God, who without fail will drive out before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites, and all the ites. The Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is going to pass before you into the Jordan. So now select 12 men from among the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. When the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, rest on the waters of the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan flowing from above shall be cut off, and they shall stand still in a single heap. When the people set out from the tents to cross over the Jordan, the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant were in front of the people. Now the Jordan overflows all its banks throughout the time of harvest. So when those who bore the Ark had come to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests bearing the Ark were dipped to the edge of the water, the waters flowing above stood still, rising in a single heap far off at Adam, the city that sat beside Jerithon, while those flowing towards the Sea of Arabah, the Dead Sea, were wholly cut off. Then the people crossed over opposite Jericho, while all Israel crossing over on dry ground, the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood on a dry ground in the middle of the Jordan until the entire nation finished crossing over the Jordan." May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. This morning I want to think about the courage to step out in faith. But first I want to get started with something a little humorous. I heard about this wealthy, eccentric Texan who loved throwing parties around his swimming pool, and he had a swimming pool filled with sharks, and sometime during the party, he would line everyone up at the end of the swimming pool, and he'd go to the other end, and he'd dare anyone to swim the length of the swimming pool. And he'd say, "If anyone will swim the length of the swimming pool and get on the other end, I'll give you your choice of $1 million, the vice president of my company, or my daughter's hand in marriage." And so he did that, and no one ever took him up on that challenge. And then one day he was having a party, and he lined everyone up at one end, and he did the same challenge, dared anyone to swim the length of this shark-filled pool. And all of a sudden, one man splashed. He began to swim as hard as he could, and the sharks came after him, and he lunged at the very end as he got out, and a shark kind of lunged at him, and he got out, and this Texan was amazed. And he said, "Well, that's amazing. I've never seen anything like that." And he said, "Well, I want to give you your choice. Do you want $1 million? Do you want to be vice president of one of my companies, or would you like my daughter's hand in marriage?" And the man said, "None. I'd just like to know the name of the person who shoved me in the pool." You know, when we take a step of faith, some days it's like taking a step, and other days it's like being pushed into a shark-filled pool. You didn't really plan on that. And this morning I like to think about taking a step of faith, not just for Joshua, but also for each and every one of us. I want to take a moment and recap where we are, and remember now that Moses and the Israelites and Joshua have wandered the wilderness for 40 years, and Joshua has been with Moses from the start. Moses has kind of mentored him as a leader along the way, and Joshua was there when Moses confronted Pharaoh, and he was there to see the miracles and the plagues and how God delivered them when the firstborn were slain. He was there at that first Passover, and then he was there when they were hemmed in by the armies of Pharaoh and the Red Sea, and God parted the way, and they were able to cross over in safety, and then God let the waters come back on, and the armies of Pharaoh were drowned, and they were safe and secure, and Joshua was there and climbed partway up to the summit of Mount Sinai, and he waited there for Moses while Moses received the Ten Commandments, and Joshua was one of the 12 spies. that Moses sent into the promised land, and 10 of those spies came back with a good report about the land, but a bad report. You know, it's good news, a bad report concerned that there were giants in the land. They said, literally, we seemed like grasshoppers before them. But Joshua and Caleb came back and said, yes, there are giants in the land, but God is with us, and therefore we can be victorious. And the people believed the 10 negative spies and said, we can't do this, and therefore they were destined to wander the wilderness for 40 years while this generation died off and a new generation was ready to go forward. And now Joshua was to be the leader of the people. Moses, this great leader, had passed away, and before he passed away, he laid his hands on Joshua and passed on the mantle of leadership, and he blessed him in front of all the people. But now Joshua is standing there, ready to go over to the promised land, and he has to assume that mantle of leadership of Moses. You can only imagine how daunting that would be. And so he had to take a step of faith and believe that God was with them. And God gave him an incredible promise, and to him and to all the people, and it says this, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." I think that promise is not only to them, but also to us. And so Joshua had to believe that, and he believed it enough to tell the people they needed to get ready to cross over. And then the people, too, had to have a step of faith. It couldn't just be Joshua, and it couldn't be Moses or a previous generation. They had to experience that. And so Joshua said this, "You've not been this way before." And you know, sometimes faith is like that. We've not been this way before. You've been in Egypt, you've wandered the wilderness, but you've not been this way before. And the sense, too, with every one of us, that we, as every generation, have to experience God's faith anew and afresh in our hearts and lives, in whatever way God comes to us in that. Listen to what he tells the people. He said, "When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priest carrying it, you are to move out from the positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you've not been this way before. But keep about 2,000 cubits, or about 1,000 yards, keeping the Ark as a sacred place." And then he says, "Consecrate yourselves." And consecrate means to set aside yourselves for the purposes of God. And that step of faith requires that we first sort of honor God and consecrate our lives before God. And then he says that they need to go out and that God would be with him. Notice that when he says that, he gives a command that each tribe should be represented. One person from each tribe needs to go forth and take that first step so that there isn't one special tribe, one special group, one special family. Everyone needs to have a representative that's going to take their step out there along with the priest. And when they take that step, then God is going to stop the waters from flowing. Now, most of us, myself included, would sooner the waters stop flowing first, and then I'll take the step. But the command is you need to take that step into water. And when you take that step of into the water in the flood season, then the waters will stop flowing. And that's what it means to take a step of faith. They had to have a step of faith in the floods, that God would hold those back. But it isn't the only story of faith. There's a chapter that we skip, but it's an important chapter, and I think it flows within this context, which is the story of Rahab, the prostitute. And she was in the land, in Jericho, and Joshua sent out spies again. He sent out two spies this time. They went into the land, and their lives were threatened, and they didn't know what to do, but they found shelter in her house. She had the faith, and she gave them a word of encouragement. She said, "Listen, the people have heard about how you crossed over the Red Sea," and that was 40 years ago, and they still remembered that. And so maybe they could have gone before when Moses was there, but they didn't. She said, "The people have heard, and the people know that God is with you," and she sheltered them there. And these spies said this to her. They said, "Listen, if you'll put a red cord out here, outside your window, we'll make sure that your life and your family's lives are spared if you'll shelter us here." And she had a step of faith, knowing that it was God who was with them. And so Rahab also took a step of faith. And it's true, too. Sometimes we think, well, it's just our family, or it's just our church or our denomination that God is blessing. And God blesses people from every race and every place around the world if they're willing to take a step of faith. And so Rahab was included in this special moment. And so Joshua had faith, and the people had faith, and Rahab had faith. And the question, too, is all of us really need to have faith. In fact, there was a group of people, the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, who early had said to Moses, "Listen, we're in this area right here, and we have lots of herds, and we actually think this is better than the promised land." And so Moses said, "That's fine, but you have to go over the Jordan River, and you have to fight with your brothers and sisters and help them claim that land, and then you can come back across the Jordan again, and this land will be yours." And so Joshua reminds those same people in this day. He said, you too can come back to this land that you want, that you've claimed as your own, but you must go across the River Jordan and fight with your sisters and brothers, and then when they've had victory, you can come back here. So everyone was included in that. Listen to what it says in Joshua 3:14 again as they took that step of faith. So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away, flowing also down to the Sea of Araba. It stopped and was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan when all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completely crossed on dry ground. You know, sometimes it takes that step of faith before the water stopped flowing. And it was that way for Joshua. It was that way for the leaders. It was that way for the people of Israel. It was that way for Rahab. And it was that way for even the tribe that was going to come back across the river and be in the land where they were right then. They all had to take a step of faith. And if you look out throughout the Bible, there's people whose lives were just like that. You think about David, who had to take a step of faith to face Goliath. You think about Esther, who had to take a step of faith to go in before the king and risk her own life so she could say a word to save the people of Israel. And you think about Abram, whose first step of faith was to go to a land that he never heard of before because he trusted God. And I think sometimes God puts us in a place where we don't know what the next step is, or in a darkness where we have to trust that he's holding on to our hand. Jesus said in Matthew 7, as Don read earlier, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who speaks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be open. And it's true that that step of faith isn't just asking. It also involves seeking and knocking, and there's a progression there along the way. But the key is to trust God. As Jesus goes on, he says, which of you, if his son or daughter asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or ask for a fish, will give him a snake? Or if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your sons and daughters, how much more will God, our Heavenly Father, who loves us so much, give us good things if we ask him and trust for him? So we have to have a step of faith. And you know, sometimes in life too, you've seen people who took a bold step of faith, and it took that bold step to make a difference. I heard this a program on Henry Ford the other day, and Henry Ford, of course, was a person credited for making automobiles affordable to everyone. He invented the assembly line. He did that by going to the butcher one day, and as he was watching the butcher kind of go through the process, he said, well, if you can do that to take something apart, maybe you can do that to put something together. And so he decided to have an assembly line, and each person would do one thing. And so he paid him $2.50 a day for a nine-hour workday. And they worked hard, but the only problem is that they were bored. And when they got enough money and they got their first paycheck, they'd leave. And he had an incredible turnover, and he thought about it, and he decided what he was going to try to do is he'd double the wage. He'd go from $2.50 a day to $5 a day, and he'd move the workday from 9 hours to 8 hours. He's the one who invented the eight-hour workday, and he ran that idea beside some friends, business associates, and they looked at him, and they said, that's impossible. It will never work. The numbers won't work, and so he said, you know, I'm going to try it anyway. And he decided, he said, you know, what I'm trying to do is not only make it so that they'll stay, but so they'll be able to afford a car themselves. And that was the key that unlocked the automobile industry. And he was able to make cars 10 times as fast as they'd been before. And by giving them $5 a day, they did go out and buy a car. And 8 hours a day proved to be a lot better than 9 hours a day. And a lot of us have that eight-hour workday today. It took kind of a step of faith. Martin Luther King Jr. said this, faith is taking the first step even when you can't see the whole staircase. Beautiful, isn't it? And that's what faith really is about. This weekend, Savannah and I, we watched a movie, watched Star Wars the other weekend, but this weekend, Savannah decided we watched the movie 90 Minutes in Heaven. I don't know if you've seen that movie, but it's a tremendously inspirational movie about a true story about Don Piper. And Don Piper was a pastor on his way back from a church growth seminar, okay, of all the good things you could be doing. And he was driving his car safely. He began to pass this bridge, and a truck driven by some inmates from the local prison came and went into his side of the road and completely ran over his car. And the police arrived, and they just thought he had to be dead, and they checked him. They checked his pulse. The EMT arrived. The firefighters arrived, and they just put a piece of plastic over the car because they said there's no way anyone in that condition could be alive. And one of the pastors from the conference drove up, and he felt compelled to pray for whoever was in the car. And so he came up to the police officer and said, can I pray for this person? And he, in the accident, he said, well, you can pray for these people over here. And he said, no, I want to pray for that person over there. And he said, that guy's gone. That guy's dead. You can't pray for him. And he said, well, it can't hurt. I just feel led to pray. And so he said, well, okay, it won't hurt anything. So he pulled back part of the plastic, and the accident was so bad he had to open the trunk in order to crawl through the trunk to get to where he was. And of course, the person was just so mangled by the accident, he didn't realize that it had been someone that he was at the conference with that he knew. And so he began to pray, and he felt led to begin to sing, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And as he came to the chorus, the person who was mangled began to sing with him, and he was so shocked by hearing him sing out, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And so he ran over to the firefighters and the EMTs and the police officers and said, You gotta come back here, the guy's alive. And they said, there's no way that guy's alive. You're nuts. And so he finally drug him back over there, and they took a pulse, and he was alive. And so they started cutting him out of there, and there was 90 minutes between the time of the accident and time when that prayer was taken. And he later recounts how he was taken to heaven in that moment. He was just felt lifted up at that moment. And then all of a sudden, he comes back to earth, and he's in incredible pain, and he's in surgery. They didn't think he was going to live. And of course, his wife is notified, and his kids, and they come in. And then in getting through that, and they didn't believe he'd live, then he lived, and they had painful surgery after painful surgery. And he began to have a really bad attitude, because he just thought to himself, well, I was in heaven for this time, and now all of a sudden I'm in pain, and I'm a nuisance to my wife and to my kids, and I'm just laying around, and months roll on. And he had this really negative attitude, and the interim pastor came in and said, listen, you need to allow people to help care for you. You don't know what God is doing here, and you have to let them in. And so he took a step of faith, and he began to let people care for him, and he began to reach out to them. And then finally he was able to go home, and he was still in a lot of pain. And then one day his friend came in, he began to tell his friend about his experience in heaven that he'd never shared with anyone, even his wife. And his friend said, you need to tell people. And he said, well, I just think they'll think I'm crazy, and I don't understand why I came back. He said, maybe this is your ministry. And he began to take a step of faith, and he shared that with his wife, and she was so moved by that. And then his church had been praying for him all this time, and a year had passed, and his first step just in the house was so painful, he just couldn't believe it. But then he decided he was going to go to church, and he was wheeled up to the front of the church on this Sunday morning, and then he, with great effort, got out of his wheelchair, and he took a couple steps, and he stood in the pulpit, and he was only able to say these words. He said, you prayed, and I'm here. You prayed, and I'm here. And people were so moved by that. And what had become his pain all of a sudden became his life's ministry, as he began to realize that God had taken him to heaven and brought him back. And even though he faced all this pain, he had a word of encouragement to those who have loved ones who've gone before, those who weren't sure about the future. All of a sudden, his ministry was to touch people's lives. And he's gone decades now, and more than 7 million people have read the book, and many more have seen the movie. And for you and I, sometimes that step of faith, it involves pain. It involves not knowing what's going on. And sometimes the pain and the struggles we take, that step becomes our calling, our life's calling and our ministry. And as individuals, and sometimes as a church and as a family. And today, so I challenge us that it isn't just Joshua or the people or Rahab or all the ites. It's about taking a step of faith, of daring to dream a dream and believing that we can achieve something, and then taking a step of faith. Just one step is all it takes sometimes to go up a staircase that becomes a lifetime of ministry. I want to close by reading this chapter 11 from Hebrews. It's called the Hall of Faith, and I want you to just listen every time the word faith is used. It says this, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous person when God spoke of his offerings. By faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because everyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about the things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By faith, Abraham, when called to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him for the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father. All these people were all living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He was received the promises, was about to sacrifice his only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God would raise from the dead Isaac. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, regarding to them the faith of God. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt. By faith, Moses' parents hid him 3 months after he was born, because they saw that he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated among the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as a greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking forward to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who was invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover, the sprinkling of the blood, so the destroyer of the firstborn did not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho, after the people had marched around them for 7 days, fell. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have the time to tell you about Gideon and Barak, Samson and Jephthah, David and Samuel, and all the prophets who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of flames, escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what they promised. God has planned something better for us, that only together we should know and be made perfect. Faith is the key to the Old Testament, the New Testament, God's life for all of us. Faith is the key to Joshua and to Moses, to Rahab and the people of Israel, and faith is the key to us. So I challenge all of us to take a step of faith. Sometimes when it seems darkest and roughest, that's when God is going to be there closest to us. And sometimes in the middle of our pain can be the moment that we realize what our ministry and our calling is. We take a moment and join me in prayer. Gracious God, we think of the great lies of faith in the Bible. We think of Moses and we think of Joshua, these people that had the faith to take a step into the waters, even in flood season. And you were faithful. You dried up the waters. You stopped them so they could pass over on dry ground. So too in our lives, sometimes the storms seem difficult and the waters seem high, and our hearts are fearful. But we know if we trust you that you are faithful. Help us to not only dream great dreams and to believe, but to believe and trust you enough to take a step of faith. Even if it's a small step sometimes, we know that you will be there. You'll be faithful. You'll meet our needs. You'll walk us through the darkness. You'll hold our hands. You will be faithful. Help us, Lord, to grow in faith that we can serve you and serve others with gladness of heart each and every day of our lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.